2 Corinthians chapter 9. And we're going to start reading at verse 6 and read down through the rest of the chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Being enriched in everything, to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whiles by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God, unto God, for his unspeakable gift. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. This evening I want us to think just briefly on that last verse that we read tonight and consider it for our heart's good. But before we go further, let's just ask the Lord to meet with us in the word. Lord, we pray now that you will bless the word of God. We pray that you will use it as that which is given of God for our heart's good, for your name's glory. Allow the Spirit of God to be the preacher in this time. Direct every thought. Govern every word. For we pray it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. This evening I want us to think on that last verse there. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Paul in this chapter and the chapter before is talking to the Corinthians in his epistle about the necessity of giving. He discusses the reason for it. Then also comments on the nature of it. He also, along with those, comments about the cost of it. And also presents what we might call the command for it. Certainly, this is a subject that in some places and in some ways would seem to be an awkward subject, that we're talking about the laying up of that which is the gain that we have had by working and laboring and giving that portion unto the Lord. Paul is admonishing these that they forget not to do this, for they then are meeting the needs of others and also bringing glory to God. Somewhat of an awkward subject, but then at the end of it all, as he comments all the way through on how he would boast of them for their consistent giving and so forth, he comes to the reason, he comes to the motive, he comes to the power of his words, and that is what we find in verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Here is the great why. Why do we do as Paul is speaking of in these couple of chapters? Why is it that we worship our God and remember our God in the way that he's suggesting. Well, the great motive for all of our giving, for all of our sacrifice, for all of our worship to God in that way, is that God himself gave. We must not forget that God gave. But his gift, Paul characterizes as that which is not only better, but unspeakably superlative. It is that which is beyond our ability to esteem. It is beyond our ability to know. And it's certainly something that we cannot begin to render back to the Lord in an act of worship that is anything close to what it deserves. So, what does this mean? I just want us to think very briefly this evening on this summary statement, this explanation statement of Paul here in verse 15. And I want us to think about the unspeakable gift. Why is it unspeakable? How is it unspeakable? In what way? Well, let's consider just a couple of quick things. First, I want you to see that obviously what Paul is presenting is that God's gift is unspeakable in its cost. It is unspeakable in its cost. There's no way for man to understand what the cost to God was when he gave his gift, when he gave to us that gift that brings us life and freedom from sin and death. We have no way to enter into what it was that was in the heart of God as he gave that gift to us. The cost, you would have to say, was so immense. It was so infinitely costly that it could not, in an effort to describe it, ever have an end. It is that which is completely unable to be fully described. Paul just simply says, then it's unspeakable. You can't really be able to plumb the depths of the immensity of the cost that it was to the heart of God. What did our Lord's heart have to bear when he offered the Lord Jesus as his gift? What was in his heart? What was the cost to God? You and I can't say. But we are to think about that. We are to consider that. We are to allow that to sink down in our minds. This is what Paul calls upon us. Even though you perhaps cannot begin to plumb the depths, yet you are to consider what it cost God, what was in his heart for you, that he sent the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, to take away the sin of the world. It is unspeakable in cost. But you'd also have to say that in the sense, because this is something that is being elevated and lifted up by Paul as a glorious argument, then you'd have to say it was unspeakable in glory. You don't know how glorious was that gift. You know, men cannot begin to perceive that glory that was Christ's before the foundation of the world. That glory that he left when he became man, or as Philippians 2 says, that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. The thought there is that he set aside that which was demanding a reputation of all glory and majesty and honor. It demanded that he have all the praise of heaven. As you would read later in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, how heaven adores the Lamb. He was worthy of all that. And you and I cannot perceive the immensity of the glory of Jesus Christ that had to be set aside, as it were, for him to become flesh, for him to become the gift of God. Again, the estimation of the glory that was in that gift, the unspeakable glory that was in Christ Jesus, is some ways only seen in heaven's response to Christ's success. But you might also say, too, that that which was purchased in the blood of Christ by the gift of God is also glorious beyond knowing until we reach glory. Oh, how wondrous is the salvation that Christ purchased. How immensely valuable in the sight of God, in the view of heaven, is the redemption that was accomplished by Jesus Christ. You and I have no way to know the worth of Christ's redeeming work to the heart and to the mind of the Father and to those in heaven that witness the successful work of the Lamb. The Lord's gift of Christ is unspeakable in cost. It is unspeakable in its glory. But it's also unspeakable in its suffering. You and I cannot begin to understand the suffering, the pain, the anguish of soul and heart that is wrapped up in God's gift of Jesus Christ. You know, all giving has a sense in which there is an acknowledging or a perception of some loss. We had something, now we gave it, and now there is to us a sense of loss. Not that that's to be regretted. Not that that is not to be done cheerfully or glad that we could do it. But there is a sense in which you understand what I had before, I don't have now. That's part of the blessing, that we can suffer somewhat of a loss for the sake of that which is greater than we are. But there is a sense in which there is a loss. But you and I cannot begin to understand the loss that was suffered by the divine heart at the giving of Jesus Christ. Now, our God was glad to do this. It pleased the Father to bruise him. God was completely in favor of the Son being made sin to bear away the sins of his people. The Father was 100% glad. There was no reservation. But there was loss. There was loss. And it brought not only a sense of loss, but it also brought an unknowable suffering. You and I cannot begin to speak of the sufferings of Christ. We are called on by our God to enter into that suffering. It is given to us not only to believe on him, but to suffer for his sake. But our suffering is nothing. Our suffering, in fact, Paul calls it, all of the sufferings, if you want to bundle them up and give them a label, we would call it light affliction. Our suffering means it is nothing compared to what the Lord Jesus went through. And you and I cannot begin to speak of it. All really, if we are honest before our God, we have to stand in humility and say that we are in awe of it. It is beyond our ability to enter in. How deep, how immensely deep was the suffering and the sorrows of Christ that he went through to free us from sorrows and suffering for sin. It's unspeakable, the suffering and the cost. And the loss is unspeakable. But then you'd also have to say this, that Paul in this statement, as he is seeking to motivate the Corinthians to follow the lead of their God, to do as God did, that they would be motivated to give because God gave. You'd also have to say that God's gift was unspeakable in purpose. Why did he do this? Well, the Corinthians were told very plainly that the reason that they were to give is because there was a need of their brethren in other places. Their gift was going to sustain life. Paul flips it around and says, you know, there's going to come a day when you all also are in great need, and your brethren that are in other places will give to help you. This is going to be something that will be reciprocated. The Corinthians gave to sustain life. But God's gift, the purpose why God gave his Son, you and I cannot particularly enter into the thinking, the ways, the purposes of God. They are beyond us. But we can say this, that God's gift was not just to sustain life, it was to bring life. It was to bring life when there was no life. But further, it was also to sustain. But beyond that, God's gift is that which is to fulfill life. It gives life meaning. It gives life a worth. The life that does not serve the Savior is a life that is wasted. Our God gave us the Lord Jesus for the purpose of saving us, sustaining us, and then satisfying us with all the fullness of God. You and I can't begin to enter into that. When did God's heart purpose this gift? Well, you would know from reading Peter's epistle, 1 Peter, that there was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Paul talks about it in Ephesians chapter 1. God's heart was filled with this purpose. God meant to give the Lord Jesus and covenanted with Christ for all the fullness of the reward that he would know as a result of that completed work. That was all before the days where men ever trod on this earth. You and I can't begin to enter into that time, that covenant, that agreement between Father and Son. We also cannot understand or enter into the plan or purpose that God has for the exaltation of Christ everlastingly. Yes, there's a statement, "This is thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." But begotten thee to what? Not just to life, but to everlasting glory that's beyond measure. Christ will be glorified, and you and I ought to be able to say within our hearts, hallelujah, Christ Jesus will be glorified with all the glory that can be possibly purposed in the heart of the Father to bestow on him, and that everlastingly. And we'll be able to be there to see it all. How can we speak of that? We can't. And then finally, perhaps this is the sweetest of all. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. It is unspeakable in love. The Corinthians' gifts that were being given to their brethren to help them, they were told were gifts of love. They were gifts that showed truly what Christ had done in them and their regard for their brethren in the Lord. God's gift is more than just the love that would be known amongst men. Who can understand and know the love that is in the giving of the Lord Jesus? Who can know the love of Christ? Paul prays for the Ephesians to God in Ephesians chapter 3 that they would be those that would be able to discern what is the breadth and length and depth and height of the love of Christ. Knowing full well that in each one of those directions, there is no end. they are infinitely stretching forth. You cannot know entirely the love of Christ, but you can begin to know, and you can begin to enjoy, and you can begin to treasure it, and you can begin to speak of it. And it can be that which is for you a fullness of your heart. Unspeakable love. God's gift is so far beyond what any man would ever be able to render from his heart, either to God or to man, that Paul labels it unspeakable. But though it's unspeakable, Paul says this: you can honestly give thanks for it. You have the ability to thank God for it. You don't understand it in its entirety. You cannot go into the depths of it, but you can thank God for it. And Paul just simply says, part of the thanking of God for his unspeakable gift is that you gladly, cheerfully, without reservation, give of what you have back to the Lord to sustain those who are in the Lord. Our giving, then, and I'm not just talking, giving money is just only a sliver of what we're really talking about. Giving to God of our time, of our hearts, of our energies, of our talents, of our life, is only that which is our rightful place. We give thanks to our God for his unspeakable gift by giving to him all that we have. Which, by the way, is only right because we are not our own. We are bought with a price. Therefore, I glorify God in your body, which is Christ's. An unspeakable gift. So much more than what we're able to think on or understand, but so sweet to us to contemplate. Well, may the Lord bless this short thought to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Father in heaven, now we would pray that you will bless this consideration. Help us, O God, to be glad that we belong to one who is so freely, so richly, so completely given to us. Lord, I pray that you will take our thanks. And Father, we have to confess we don't understand. And we're often forgetful. But Lord, we would pray that as a blessing to us by the help of the Spirit of God, that you'll help us to be more thankful, that we might be more joyful. We pray in Jesus' name.